you'd turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, find verse 17. I'll read that verse, then I'd like to offer a word of prayer. Appreciate Andrew and Jacinda helping lead in worship this morning as we worship the Lord together. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. I read from the New King James Version. I'd like to ask you to follow along in whatever copy of God's Word you might have with you this morning. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." May God's blessings be upon the reading of His Word. Let's pray together. Most gracious and holy God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I pray now, Lord, that as I try to deliver your word to your people, that you would use it among us today. Let it be for our profit, for our good spiritually. Father God, I pray for our leaders in this nation. Lord, oh God, I pray they would give you glory. And I pray, God, that you would glorify yourself through them all. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, I share with you a message today entitled, "My Beloved and Faithful Son," or "My Beloved and Faithful Son." I want to first of all give you the context of this verse, as Paul writes here about Timothy coming to the Corinthians. First of all, the context. You see in the first part of verse 17, he says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy." For what reason? What's the context of this verse being included here? And you see the verse before, verse 16, he urged the Corinthians to imitate me. So we know that that has something to do with it. And then we go back up to verse 15. It says, "For though I might have 10,000 instructors, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." So we see the context a little bit further here. Paul wants them to imitate him, to mimic him. And Paul is pointing out to them that though they may have a lot of Apollos in their lives, they have only one spiritual father in their life, and that is the Apostle Paul, who at the end of verse 15, you see that he says, "Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you, I have fathered you through the gospel." So he's not talking about a physical relationship. He's talking about a spiritual relationship where Paul's the one who went there and preached the gospel, and it was through the preaching of that gospel that they believed and were born again and became sons and daughters of God. And so because of Paul's being used by God to deliver that message to them, he is their spiritual father. You may think about people or a man or a woman in your life who was like a spiritual parent to you, who had a gospel influence in your life. I can think of Terry Stockton as somebody who was particularly important in God bringing me to salvation. Well, Paul is saying here that he is that person for the church there in Corinth. Because of his relationship to them, he is sending Timothy to them so that he can teach them some things. As we continue to look through verse 17, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord." Now what you see here is that Timothy was a brother to the Christians in Corinth. He was also a beloved, Paul's beloved, and then he says faithful son in the Lord. He was that. We'll talk a little bit more about Timothy in a minute. And then you see at verse 17 what he's going to do. "Who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." So we see the context, first of all. But the second thing that I would point out to you is the consistency of the life of Paul. Timothy was going to go there and tell the Corinthians about how Paul lived in Christ everywhere in every church and the things that he taught concerning his ways in Christ. So Paul wasn't somebody who's going to go to one church and teach one thing and then go to another church, act a different way, and teach a different thing. But everywhere he went, he was teaching the same gospel, teaching the same holy life to be lived by the church, by Christians in every place that he went. And Timothy was going to go there to the Corinthians and remind them, teach them of how Paul has consistently done this everywhere and in every church. See, Timothy was an older brother to the church in Corinth. That doesn't mean that he was physically older than them, because we know that Timothy was a young man. But he had been in the Lord longer than the apostle, than the church in Corinth. Now, I'll tell you why I say that. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts, to the book of Acts. Now, we'll go to chapter 16. Learn a little bit about Timothy here for a moment. Young Timothy in the book of Acts. Now, if you're just getting familiar with the Bible, the book of Acts is the historical account, and really it is the most detailed, it is the most important resource that we have for the early days of the church. There's no historical document that is nearly as gives us as much information as what we find in the book of Acts about the early church. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, I'll read here a couple of verses. It says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek." So what we see here is really Timothy's call to ministry, his call to ministry. Because he was a man, a young man, who was well spoken of by the brethren, we see in verse 2, at Lystra and Iconium. So Paul had just lost somebody who was an assistant that was real, that was helpful, but he was an assistant and he had left the work at the end of chapter 15. Does anybody see who that was? Somebody had just left from Paul, and Paul would not take him back home as an assistant anymore. Does anybody know? John Mark. That's right. I think I heard y'all say Mark or John Mark. You can see that in verse 37. This is where Paul and Barnabas split and go separate ways. Okay? So he is in need of another assistant. He comes along to Derbe and Lystra, and here's Timothy. So Timothy's well spoken of, so he says, "I'm going to take Timothy on. I want him to come and serve along with us." And that's the calling of Timothy, if you will. We could see in 1 and 2 Timothy that there were laying on of hands that happened in Paul, in Timothy's ministry. He became a pastor in Ephesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we see that. He was in the city of Ephesus at least for a while. Paul had laid his hands on Timothy, and also the presbytery had laid their hands on Timothy when he was set aside, ordained to the gospel ministry, as we would call it today. So he was called and gifted by the Lord to serve in the local church, and he did so, as we see there, faithfully. That's kind of his calling. But we need to learn a little bit more about this. What about his conversion? What about his conversion? Now, I need to tell you why he's their older brother. Paul doesn't go to Corinth until chapter 18 of Acts. So Timothy's already in Christ in chapter 16, we know. Paul doesn't go to Corinth until chapter 18. So Timothy is their older brother, if you will, in the Lord, because he had come to faith in Christ first. If you go back to chapter 14 in Acts. Acts 14. As we look here in Acts 14, what we find is that Paul first came to these areas mentioned in chapter 16, Derbe and Lystra. He first came there in chapter 14, in his first missionary journey. He went there and he preached the gospel, chapter 14, verse 1, in Iconium. And then chapter 14, verse 8, and in Lystra a certain man came. And then we can see that he is in Derbe after that. And then goes back again after he had been stoned. Chapter 14, verse 21, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So Paul had gone into this area, and here's how this probably shook out in Timothy's conversion. We know that he had two influential ladies in his life. Who are they? Does anybody remember their names? Lois and Eunice, right? Mother and grandmother. And they knew the Holy Scriptures. They taught him the Scriptures from childhood, we see. Well, Paul comes through this area preaching the gospel, and these ladies knew the Scriptures. Paul comes through, and he's preaching Christ from the Old Testament Scriptures, and the hand that is Christ fit the glove of the Old Testament perfectly. The hand that is Christ fit the glove of the Old Testament perfectly. So when they heard Paul preaching Christ crucified, buried, risen again on the third day, seen alive from the dead, that message of the gospel, they said, well, he is the Messiah that the Old Testament talks about, and they apparently believe the gospel. Well, not only it did not end with those ladies, but it continued on to Timothy. Because the same faith that they had, Paul trusted that Timothy had a like faith, as we see in the letters that were written to him. So Timothy also came to believe in the gospel, and then he began to serve the Lord faithfully in the church. So that's his conversion, if you will, from what we can tell about how things had gone there. Paul went there, chapter 14, preached the gospel, probably around the year 48. He went back a couple years later, probably around the year 50, 51, and took Timothy on. And now we're about in the year 54, where he is writing back or sending Timothy to the Corinthians to minister to them. So we've seen the context. We've seen the consistency of Paul, and we see the calling of Timothy, and then his conversion as well, as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. A lot around this man. Here in verse 17, again, he says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord." Let's just take a moment and think about this passage, this line here, and think about our own lives. Our own lives of being converted through the gospel, believing in Jesus Christ, being saved by that power of the gospel. For Timothy, it wasn't just a one and done. He was someone who was so changed by the gospel that he dedicated his life to serving the Lord. Now, the thing about Timothy is he did not have a Damascus Road experience. He had an experience that might be like a lot of you all, a lot of the children that grow up in New Life Baptist Church. You know, Timothy, we know from the Scriptures in 2 Timothy 3, he knew the Holy Scriptures from childhood, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And we don't know a whole lot about his conversion, but it seems that he knew those Scriptures, he heard the gospel, he believed that Jesus is the one who fulfilled the Scriptures, and then he began to serve him with his life. It may be a much, much like what some of you experience if you've grown up in the church. The question that I have for you is, having heard this message of the gospel, do you now believe it? And if you believe it, what hinders you from serving the Lord now and obeying Him? What hinders you from dedicating your life to service to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about you have to go into the ministry, but I am saying you do have to minister, because all the church must be ministers of Christ, servants of Him. So Paul, Timothy, was saved, but he wasn't just beloved by Paul, but he was faithful. That's the second thing I want to kind of point out to you in application here is, if you've been saved, are you faithful? Are you serving the Lord faithfully? I'll ask you a couple of questions. What's your Bible reading like? Have you dedicated yourself to knowing the Scriptures and being able to have those in your mind and in your heart that you might serve the Lord from truth? Are you praying? Do you pray on a regular basis, on a daily basis? Do you seek the Lord faithfully? Are you faithful in your attendance to church? Do you serve the Lord through the local church? You see, all of these things are not things that we pile on in order to try to get saved. No. We do these things because we are saved and because we want to know the God who has saved us, and we want to serve Him faithfully all of our days. Timothy is someone who was beloved, but he wasn't just beloved because the Corinthians were beloved. We see that in verse 14. But he was also a faithful son in the Lord. You see a great contrast here in these two. If you'll look down at verse 18 through the end of the chapter, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says some hard words here. He would have been greatly criticized in our day if he would have said these today. Verse 18, he says, "Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" Oh, there would have been trouble if Paul would have said that in these days. But he says to them, and why does he say that? A rod of correction. Because he's their spiritual father. And he's addressing them as his children. And he's saying to them, do I need to come to you as a disobedient child with the rod of correction? Or as I want to come to you, I desire to come to you in gentleness and in love. Why? Because of your obedience to the gospel in your lives. They had gotten those things out of alignment, and Paul is here trying to bring them back in. And I pray today that as we think about this passage, having taken the Lord's Supper, claiming ourselves to be sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ, we know we're beloved. Are we faithful? Are we an obedient child, or are we a disobedient child? And I'm not talking about the children. I'm talking about all of us who are sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. If you're not today, I want you to know that the way that any person can be saved is through the gospel. It's the only way. And it is the message of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it doesn't discriminate. The gospel of Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, being seen alive from the dead, that what which Christ has done is sufficient to save us from our sins. If you've never known Him as your Savior today, I invite you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you, repent toward God. Because you can't keep living the way you were living and live for Christ as well. He calls us to repent toward God and to have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll do that today if you have not. If you have, let us see Timothy as an example. Seek to live faithfully just as he had done. Let's pray together. Lord, I do thank you for your word again. God, even for Timothy's, Father, who were faithful. God, I pray we will be faithful. I pray, God, that you will find us faithful in our lives. God, I know that doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. The faithfulness doesn't really show up, does it, Lord, until we find times of struggle and difficulty. And then, Lord, our commitment to you shows when things are hard. I pray, Lord, for all of us, as we struggle through life, that we will be faithful to you. Thank you for saving many of us through the gospel. I pray for the salvation of those who are lost, that they would believe in Jesus. Lord, that they would commit their lives to following Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.